I'm Ro Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare. More homeowners are choosing to downsize as the tiny house movement increases across the country. Last month, the Atlanta City Council approved legislation to conduct what they call a feasibility study into the construction of tiny houses and micro-unit apartments within the city.
Well, joining us now to talk about all this, Will Johnston, founder of the meetup group Atlanta Tiny Homes, and Meg Buggett, who is co-organizer of Atlanta Tiny Homes Meetup and Georgia's representative at the American Tiny House Association. And that is a thing, apparently. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Meg, let's start with you. There's an organization, apparently. So where did the idea begin for tiny houses? And was it a reaction to what we saw for many years, bigger and bigger houses, not only in town, but in the suburbs?
You know, I want to say that the history of tiny houses began with the Mayflower, because it's like we've lived in tiny houses. And indeed, just as you said, the houses have just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger over time. But this particular kind of tiny house movement, the one we're talking about that is related to sustainability and sometimes on wheels, often gets credited to Jay Schaefer, who built the very first tiny house in the late 90s. Will, would you like to chime in on that?
I totally agree with you. The fact that, yes, we came over on a boat. We weren't building 2,600 square foot homes for as pilgrims. But yes, Jay Schaefer, it has coined the tiny house movement out west, and it is slowly spread. Obviously, the Northwest is huge. California, it's huge. And up in the Northeast is actually pretty big as well. And Georgia, it's just kind of, it's a thing. And I'm really excited that it's a thing. And a lot of people are really excited about it.
Well, let me ask you then, what is the, let's say, maximum square footage for something that would be considered a tiny house, and how would it fit in to some Atlanta neighborhoods where the houses are bigger? I mean, how do you solve the problem of continuity here?
Right. So here's how we're looking at it. To kind of define the parameters of what a tiny house is, we try to stay, and Meg, correct me if I'm wrong, but under 400 square feet. And
that is tiny.
That is tiny. But you will not believe how well designed these are done. Going to SCAD Atlanta, and if you've seen the SCAD pads, how well people are putting thought into the inside and what you can put away, hide, pull out, and shut away. We are using creative design with this small space. There's a great gentleman up in Dahlonega, Georgia, in the Hiker Hostel. He has turned container homes into these bed and breakfasts, and they're under 350 square feet, and he has done an immaculate job being able to make you feel like you are in an open and wonderful space to stay in. So I don't own it. It sounds small on paper, but I invite you to actually visit a location that is that small of a space and to see the design and thought put in to the unique layout.
Let's back up here a moment, y'all. Let's talk about who is the best sort of, I guess, candidate for someone that might be interested in a tiny house. Because obviously if you have four kids and two dogs and a cat or whatever, a tiny house concept is not for you. Let's just be really clear. So, and you don't want to pigeonhole someone into this, but realistically, are we talking about maybe just a couple or a single individual here?
You know, I agree with Will that most of the tiny house community would define the tiny house as 400, but a lot of the talk in tiny house community is also about efficient housing. It doesn't necessarily have to be very, very small, but the people who are interested in tiny housing are people who are trying to create housing where all the space is used. And so for somebody who's in a 3,000 square foot house and it's a couple living there, if they downsize to 1,000 square feet and they're using every piece of it, they have visitors often or they entertain, that's, to them, that's a tiny house. So to me, it's whatever you consider efficient for yourself. And in terms of who is the ideal person living there, we've seen in our meetup group, and Will, you can chime in on this also, is that we have people from who are millennials or recent college graduates, all the way to retirees who are interested in downsizing and moving into something smaller, something affordable, and not affordable just in terms of financially, but affordable where it gives them a lot more space headspace to do other things, that they're not worried about this mortgage payment and maintenance of this giant property, but also, you know, doing more activities with their life and things like that.
Correct. They're wanting to be more experiential with their lives.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about the actual construction of these tiny houses. And Will, I'll start with you. Someone listening may say, okay, are we talking about these are actually going to be on wheels? Can some actually, you know, start from the ground up? Let's talk about construction and the concerns that people have with, okay, the tiny house is great, but I also want to make sure my tiny house stays where it is if a storm comes through. And I think that's a legitimate concern for people.
It is, but also, I mean, you have to look at the fact that, you know, it is technically, if you put your tiny house on wheels, it is considered an RV. You know, and one of the things that people have brought up, like, well, what are the obstacles about building? Because it with the tiny house movement comes along of do-it-yourself people and people wanting to do this for themselves so they can save money on the construction. But, you know, one thing that is very poignant is that you videotape yourself building it to make sure inspectors can pass so you can get insurance, you can prove that your house was built in a certain way. Now, I have to say, you know, yes, Atlanta and Georgia does get storms, but, you know, there are sheds in people's backyards that get beat up just as much as the house. So I guess it's the quality of the materials used as well versus just saying, oh, it's a small house. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a Wizard of Oz complex. It's going to be blown away. No, it's not. Now, for the foundation part, that's what the feasibility study is for with Kwanzaa. I'm very excited about the fact that being able to look and see how we can build foundational tiny homes peppered throughout Atlanta, whether it's in a community, whether it can fit in parcels of land that don't fit regular building codes and zoning. I think it's a real addition to the community to be able to have these houses that fit in parcels of land that exist within Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, that nothing else can be built on.
Well, let's pick up on that, because if I recall correctly, the current city ordinance says a house has to be at least, if you're talking about Atlanta now, has to be at least 750 square feet. Is that right, Will?
Well, it's funny.
For a single-family house.
You look up this rule and you have to follow the international building codes. Atlanta is zoned with the international building codes. So it's not necessarily it says a house has to start at a certain size, but it must meet requirements for a counter must be X amount of feet away from a door. A bathroom must be an X amount of size to fit all the parameters. So and the one thing that I'm still actually looking for, and Meg, please chime in, that I haven't really deduced what the smallest house you actually could build in Atlanta.
All right, but let's then boil it down. In practical terms, you probably couldn't, under current city ordinance, build a 400-square-foot house.
No, you could not build a 400. It would be considered a garage or a shed.
So then, Meg, if what we're talking about here is changing the ordinance to allow this, would you be trying to do it just on, as Will mentioned, kind of odd-sized lots where that's really what the only thing that would fit there? Or are you trying to say, let's put it all over the place?
Well, I think the great thing about tiny house community is that it is a community. And what we'd like to do is definitely approach the odd-sized lots, the lots that can't be used for other things, but also to integrate tiny housing into existing communities, where Atlanta is one of those markets, which I'm a real estate investor, and you know, we build houses all the time. And what happens, we find, is that we can build a 3,000 square foot house right next to something that's 1,200 square feet. There could be another house right down the street, which is boarded up. There might be a tarp over the house across the street from there. So the thing that's really cool about Atlanta is that it has the capacity to include all different kinds of housing. And I would love to see it more integrated into different communities as well.
Well, let me take the sort of the role of the existing homeowner who says, well, will this tiny house affect my property value if I'm in an area and all of a sudden these little tiny homes are popping up? Hey, I'm concerned about my property value being affected here. Can you understand that argument?
Yeah, I can definitely understand that argument. But that takes me back to the point that I was just talking about, which is that in Atlanta, you know, if you look at Edgewood or Kirkwood and the transition that it's gone through, and sure, Edgewood is still going through, East Atlanta, or, you know, almost any up-and-coming, very hip neighborhoods, you find that there are really, like, basically mansion type of houses, 25, 3,000, 3,500 square foot houses, right next to a house which is boarded up, right next to a house which is fire damaged, and that house still sells at a very top price in terms of the dollar amount. Is there the feasibility study? I think we'll do a little bit more in terms of understanding how property values will actually be affected. But I think in certain neighborhoods where there's blight or, mm-hmm. or it may actually help bring up the values because it can create a yes. community that can of people who take care of their homes, who really are homeowners, who care about what happens. They don't want barking dogs and they don't want illegal activity happening on their corner. And I think it can bring a lot of value to the neighborhood as well.
Well, let me ask you this then. Would it make sense, though, would it be better just to have a whole little community of tiny houses as opposed
I think that's definitely a possibility. I mean, you talk about all the other great projects that are happening around Atlanta. I mean, obviously the Beltline. I've been in talks with them of just saying, all right, is there a way for us to build a bikeable community of these tiny homes? It adds another depth to Atlanta that allows people to live in a, I don't want to say an alternative way, I just another way that they want to live. And, with the Beltline project and all the land that's around the Beltline, not to mention, like Meg said, Kirkwood and Edgewood, but, you going down into Adair Park, there are ways to incorporate communities. And you think about it, if we're able to build a tiny house community, we don't need hundreds of acres of land to create a development. We need like 5 to 10 acres. And that's a lot easier to find now than the hundreds of acres that we would need to build a development, to build 2,600 square foot homes.
But even if, the city council says, okay, we'll change the ordinance to allow areas for tiny homes to be built, it still takes money. I mean,
it does.
Even if you have that, is there the buy-in right now, if you will, from the people who are going to loan money to builders and homeowners to put these things up?
And that is a challenge. Right now, to get a loan is, I don't want to say hard, but is definitely, you have to explain yourself. It would be a personal loan that you would have to pay back. But also, it's the same would be getting a car. I mean, Meg, please do chime in, where if I want to build a foundational tiny house, being able to buy the land, being able to actually create the foundation, you're looking at an easy start of $25,000 and then putting the house on it. So to develop the land to put the house on, you're looking at easily $25,000. And then you have to look at how big the house is going to be. Yes, building micro does cost a little more per square foot. How it goes.
Does it, real quickly, does tiny house then automatically mean affordable house? Because in the city, that's been a big problem.
Well, that's where we are definitely wanting to use the feasibility study to prove it. If we're able to build communities and also micro housing, meaning micro apartments, micro condos on an acre of land, to be able to create density, create an almost instant community, then those are the questions that we want answered through this study.
And real quickly, because we are short of time, I have an email from a listener who wants to know, what about insurance? If this is on wheels and you have to treat it like an RV, do I get vehicle insurance or do I get home insurance? Who straightens all that out? And that's a great question from one of our listeners.
And I think, I believe right now that we are, the ones on wheels do get classified as RVs and they would be under the RV insurance. There's actually certain companies that build tiny homes are part of the RVIA, so they get certified by RVIA to be insured in that manner. And I believe, Will, correct me if I'm wrong, that there is a company that insures tiny houses. And if it's on foundation, then you can just insure it like a normal homeowner would insure maybe an additional dwelling unit.
Correct.
Exactly.
But
what?
Yes, there is a company that is working to create a good insurance for tiny homes.
Do you all live in a tiny house?
No, but I want to.
Not yet. It's on the to-do.
Will Johnston is co-founder of Tiny Houses Atlanta. Meg Buggett of the American Tiny House Association is with us as well. Let's keep us posted on this because the City Council, as you mentioned, is going to be looking at this. There's a feasibility study going on. This is a continuing conversation. It's been good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
It's been great.
Thank you both.
Here.